Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, you know, a lot of times I open a show by asking you a question, right?
I hope that's not the case today.
Well, it's not going to be the case today, and there's a reason why it's not going to be the case today. I have a guest in studio today that is way more important than you are.
Excellent.
And since I have a very important guest in the studio, I'm not going to waste valuable time talking to the likes of you. Nothing but love for you.
Take it away.
Nothing but love for you, but I just want to go ahead and get that out on the table so everybody knows exactly where we stand. Is that cool? That's cool. Hey, this is another edition of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose here at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain from a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. Join us today by phone, text, or email if you like at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or at my email address there, Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Yes, I have a special guest in studio today, Mick McMahon, who is the founder, general partner, and managing partner at Gaston Capital Partners, a small business investment firm. And he was also the founding member and the first president of the Carolinas chapter of the Society of Certified Financial Planners. He founded McMahon and Associates in 1984 and served as its president and principal until 2007. And Mick has more than 35 years' experience managing investment portfolios, working with small businesses, and has successfully managed hundreds of millions of dollars in client assets since 1984. He's a veteran of the U.S. Army and the Vietnam War, where he attained the rank of captain and was awarded the Silver Star, the Bronze Star, and the Air Medal for completion of more than 20 aerial combat assaults into known enemy territory. Mick's the author of four books, A Breach of Faith, Confession of a Preacher's Kid, An Act of War, and Saving Hope. And I must confess, you're the first guest I've ever had, Mick, who has actually had a bio on Bloomberg, which is where I got your bio from. So I am in awe, shock and awe today. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, and I didn't know I was on Bloomberg.
Yes, you. Well, you are now.
That's exciting.
You've hit the big time.
Yeah, I must have.
Well, I really do appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today. And as you know, Career Callings is all about helping people understand God's vocational calling in their lives. And I was hoping I could just pick your brain with a few questions about how the Lord has led you in your various paths in life. And so as I just read the bio, you've had a successful career both as a financial advisor and as an author. And I just wanted to ask you if you could just tell us how God has directed your steps down those two career paths.
You know, I thought about this because you sent me that question in advance, and I've thought about this a little bit. And, you know, that's a hard question to answer without just really kind of explaining how I got here.
Sure.
So, you know, how I got here is after high school, I joined the Army to avoid the draft, which a lot of my friends did. And it was a few years after that I realized that was not exactly what you needed to do to avoid the draft, but we joined, a lot of us joined, and I actually had a couple of years of college, so I became a field artillery officer, an officer in the Army, and was really moving toward a career in the Army. But after Vietnam and then a year at the 82nd Airborne Division, which was almost as bad as being in Vietnam for a year, you know, I decided that you know, I wasn't sure that that's what I wanted to do. And I also realized I needed to finish college. So if I was going to finish college, I could finish college and then come back in the Army if I wanted to do that. So I went to I went back to college at UNC Chapel Hill. And one of the first courses I took was economics. And I remember sitting in this class with 275 people, and I was just amazed with economics, and I was intrigued with it. I was excited about it, and you know, I came out of that very first class with a handful of notes and talking to the person next to me, and you know, I was about six steps down the sidewalk when I realized I was about the only person in there who was really amazed and excited about economics.
I hear you.
And out of that 275, maybe three or four eventually majored in economics, but there was no question in my mind, you know, from the very first class that this was exciting to me. This is what I wanted to do. I understood it. I had a mathematical mind. It was interesting. And so that's what I did. I got a degree in economics. And then, in addition to that, I got a master's degree in public administration because I was really still thinking more in terms of public service as opposed to private enterprise. So my first job in government was the assistant county manager of Forsyth County in Winston-Salem. And it was there that I quickly realized I did not want to be in the public sector. Fortunately, I had that degree in economics. So I went back to that and began managing money initially for cities, counties, states, retirement plans. I still manage a number of retirement plans, including locally here, a fairly large college just up the street. So I manage money for colleges, universities, and some large corporations still, even though I sold my company, five or six of those, a couple billion dollars. So basically, I decided that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But as I was thinking about your question, I thought, you know, that doesn't say so much about how God directed me into economics. So I thought more about that, and I thought, you know, it really does.
Mm-hmm.
Because each person, each of us from creation, and certainly from inception as human beings, we all have certain characteristics and traits and personality aspects of our personality, our intellect, and these are all God-given.
Absolutely.
So God touches us, and you know, at our conception. My father was a Baptist pastor, so I was raised in this, you know, context of living your life in the church and around the church and so forth. So I really think that God, did direct me toward a career in finance, but it was not so much that, you know, I got down on my knees and prayed, God, tell me what to do. It was more that God had prepared me by virtue of who I was and so forth. So that helped me a lot. And then, you were asking more about career, and I have a kind of a second career, which is as a writer. And I started writing books about 15 or 20 years ago, and I still do that. But it's in my writing that I've been able to write more about sort of the spiritual aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. And that's been successful, too. So I've enjoyed that, very much. My first book was called A Breach of Faith, and it was a book about the Vietnam War and really about how the government, the senior military officers, the demonstrators against the war, that there was basically a breach of faith between all of those people at that time in the 60s and the frontline Vietnam soldier, which I was a frontline Vietnam soldier. About one out of every 10 in Vietnam actually engaged in combat, and that's probably true in most wars. So those of us who were actually fighting the war came back from that war with a sense that we had been, you know, betrayed. So there was a breach of faith from our government. We never lost a battle, but we weren't allowed to win the war.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't allowed to do what we were sent there to do. Now, there are many, many reasons for that. Some may be good, some may be bad. But it left a bitter taste in my mouth because I had so many friends who were killed and seriously wounded in Vietnam. So I wrote this first book about that. The second book I wrote is actually more of a memoir, and it's called Confessions of a Preacher's Kid. And this is a humorous book that talks about incidents that happened in my father's churches over a period of about 50 years. I compressed them all into 1 year in 1954 when I would have been about 8 years old. So it's written from the perspective of an eight-year-old child, and it's a series of incidents, some humorous, some with more serious meaning. And that book has done very, very well. And then the last book that's been published, I have two other books that are going to be published, but the last book that was published is called An Act of War. And it's a more serious novel. It's gotten a little more popular acclaim, not so much as a Christian novel as the book as the first two were. But then the next book that's coming out actually is called The First Stone. And The First Stone is based on, the eighth chapter of John, I think it's the seventh verse, where Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So that book is really a follow-on to Confessions of a Preacher's Kid. And so it'll be a humorous, it's done, it's with the editors now, but it'll be it is a humorous book also, but it has, again, a serious sign and meaning to it. So I've had the opportunity to enjoy and benefit from a good career in finance, and then I've sort of taken the opportunity to write these books, and that's been very fulfilling for me.
One thing I picked up in that was, of course, the way God wired you with the economic mathematical mind, and you got a jolt in your soul, so to speak, when you were first exposed to it. Do you get that same jolt in your soul when you write? I'm just curious.
You know, it's interesting. That's a very good question. Writing is a solitary profession. You're by yourself. You have to kind of closet yourself away. So as a result of that, it's different from finance. Because with finance, especially the part of finance that I'm engaged in, it's interactive. I'm spending time with people. I'm helping university trustees determine what's the best way for them to manage their resources, their endowments, their trusts, their pension plans, their 401k plans. So I'm interacting with those people. I'm interacting with people one-on-one in their individual retirement plans, trying to help them. So it's different. Being a writer is more kind of getting by yourself, and what I do in finance is actually very interactive.
Fantastic. Here with Mick McMahon, financial planner and author, and you know what? I'm half blessed right now because we've only been through half the show. We get the other half of that blessing with Mick McMahon on the other side of the break. See you in a few minutes. I'm talking to Kevin Berg with Big Sky Enterprises. And Kevin, tell me how you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business.
We've been in the construction industry for over 15 years. We do everything that a homeowner could ever want or need in the construction industry. It's important to us to take care of our clients, and a lot of these small repairs are something that most people could do with a little bit of instruction. I can post my videos online as an added value to my customers, and this frees me up to be able to do bigger jobs like kitchen and bath remodels. Teach Me Morpheus is an additional revenue stream for Big Sky Enterprises and a great way to empower our clients. It creates customer loyalty. Plus, it's really good at the end of the day to be able to help somebody do something they didn't think they could do.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser, 864-381-7649 by phone or text, or you can reach us by email at robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. In studio today with Mick McMahon, financial planner and author, and one of the books that Mick has written is called Confessions of a Preacher's Kid. I'm guessing that would be a fantastic read for preacher's kids and preachers to be, as well. But during the break, you weren't here to enjoy our conversation, but during the break, he pointed me directly to a chapter on a radio personality named Ray Bob, and he took the took the liberty to say, you know, Ray Bob was a pretty good guy, but he had a face for radio, which, you know, made me wonder why he was showing me that chapter during the break. Mick, would you like to respond to that?
Yes, I would like to respond to that, because you looked at that picture when I was 8 years old, and then you looked at me and you said you were a pretty good-looking kid when you were 8 years old. So the implication of that was pretty strong.
Okay, touche. You got me back. Fair enough. I sit corrected behind the microphone. Can we dub that? Can we hit the little delay button on that comment? No, we won't. No, that's good. That's pretty awesome. Well, before the break, we were talking about how the Lord had led Mick to where he is and where he has been as a financial planner and author. And now, Mick, the next question I've got for you is this: were there any times in your life when you were confused about which career path that God would have you to follow? And if the answer is yes, when did the smoke clear for you?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't think I ever, since I started the career, the financial planning advisory career and so forth, I don't think I've ever had any doubt that that's what I needed to do, because I was good at it. I felt like I was good at it.
Right.
I had financial success, certainly. So I enjoyed the interaction, you know, with the people, trying to help them improve their financial circumstances by, you know, just basically showing them how better to save and invest for the future, for college, for their kids, for retirement, and so forth. And I think one reason that career has been good for me, first of all, I married very well. I have a wonderful wife. We are, 49 years married this year.
Amen.
And one of the reasons I joined the Army, quite honestly, obviously to avoid the draft, but also because we wanted to get married. And, you know, we got married when we were 19, and we've been married, you know, almost 50 years. It'll be 50 years next year. So I have a good wife, and she actually has been engaged side by side with me throughout my career. She's an accountant. So she basically has run our businesses while I've done the business promotional aspects of our businesses. So that's we've been a good team together. So I never really had a sense that I wasn't doing what I was really designed to do. I won't say that God called me to do that. I think God prepared me to do that, and I was in good stead with that. I really think what God called me to do was be a Sunday school teacher. And so for 40 years, I've taught Sunday school, and I've had large classes, adults, high school, junior high, and for the last 10 years, I've been teaching middle school Sunday school. And to me, that is one of the most fulfilling aspects of my life. I'll give you an example of this. Saturday night, day before yesterday, I was in Orlando with one of my companies down there. They had their meeting. Their meeting ended at 11 o'clock on Saturday night. I made my way to, I excused myself, went to the airport in Orlando, slept 3 hours in the airport hotel, got up, caught a flight at 5 o'clock in the morning, and got back in time to teach my Sunday school class.
Yeah, well, that's pretty awesome.
So I am a committed Sunday school teacher, and And I think God has, God has blessed me with that. I now have, many, many, because I taught high school, 25 years ago, high school kids, in, like I said, junior high and middle school and even young adults. So I have many, many kids, young people now, who now have their own children. And in fact, I'm experiencing for the first time the opportunity to teach the children of some of the people who I taught when they were, in high school and so forth. So it's just been a real blessing to me. My wife is my assistant teacher. She says she's the straight person in the room. I'm the goofy person in the room. But we do a good job with that. So she's actually, she's George and I'm Gracie. And it works out pretty well. So I think that's where I've enjoyed more doing what I think God has called me to do. So in terms of profession, it seems to me that you have to find something that you enjoy doing and that you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you enjoy doing it and you're good at it, you'll be successful. And I think also you will feel as though you're making a contribution.
Right.
And I think that's what God does for us. God puts us in places where we can use the skills and the experiences that we have, the education that we have, to help people. And I heard someone say earlier on your promo, you can be very successful by making other people successful. And that's basically what I think is true in my life. My life today, my life now, is primarily investing in small businesses and helping those small businesses improve and become more profitable. And, of course, I get a financial gain for that if those companies do very well. But my primary focus is just trying to make those companies better. And if I can make those companies better, the owners of those companies do better, the customers of those companies do better, basically it's good for everybody. And that's what Gaston Capital is about. I formed that company in 2007. That's what we've been doing for the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think you've already answered my next question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it anyway. Taking those Sunday school kids that you've been teaching, the middle school age, the high school age, let's just say you were in a group of them today,
mm-hmm.
and you had the task of giving them advice on how to discover and pursue God's career calling for their lives, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I would tell them, first of all, listen to your Sunday school teacher. Your Sunday school teacher is going to give you good advice. And what I would basically say to them is, we emphasize in our classes, in our church, we try to emphasize prayer because we believe that prayer is good for the person who prays.
Absolutely.
We may be praying for other things, but the primary and the always benefited person in the context of prayer is the person who is praying. So what I try to say to them is just be open. Be open to where God is leading you. I have one granddaughter who is at the University of South Carolina, and she wants to be she wants to go to Latin America, to Honduras, and to be a missionary. I have another granddaughter who wants to go into business, and she feels led to be in business. And these are both great girls, and they're going to do wonderful things with their lives. I have absolutely no doubt about that. But from a very early age, one was led in one direction, one is led in another direction. So God, I think God will put you where you need to be. You just have to be open to that, receptive to that. And I think opening the door is praying. And so we emphasize, let's pray. Let's pray about it and see what God really wants you to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I've seen a lot of people, including myself in my younger years, fall down or fall short. It was all about, what do I want to do? What do I think is going to make me the most money? And that was in my earlier years what drove me in the fields that I went into. And that is such great advice. If you can just grab hold of those people and just help them understand it's God's way that matters, and you're not going to access it any other way than through prayer, that's probably the best advice anybody could give.
I think what's going to make you the most money in the long term is what doesn't feel like work. Mm. If it feels like work, you're not going to make a lot of money, and you're probably not going to be very successful. But if what you're doing feels like something you really want to do. This is exciting to me. I mean, the elasticity of demand. If you can get excited about that, you can get excited about anything. And to me, that was a revelation.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I like, I think the key is find something that doesn't feel like a job, something you really want to get up and go to every morning. I mean, I still get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I read the Wall Street Journal from first page to the last page every morning. And, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm interested. I enjoy it. It's intellectually stimulating. And then, you know, go out and just live my day as God leads me to live it. And, you know, I'm the happiest person I know.
There you go. Now, I have a very selfish question for you. We have just a few minutes left here in the program, but I have a daughter that is beginning her senior year in high school, and I gave her a career assessment test a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. She shows a strong propensity and love for writing and also for art, and you being the author of several books, as she looks into areas to explore in terms of writing as a potential career, any words of advice or wisdom you can give her as far as how to go about dipping her toe in the world as a writer to see if that's the way God would have her to go?
Absolutely. The best way to be a writer is to be a reader. So I read 50 to 100 books every year still, and I've done that for a very long time. So what you need to do, I think, to be a good writer is to read, and to read a lot of different kinds of books. So, you know, you start with Ernest Hemingway, and you work your way through the masters, and you start reading current literature. I read women, I read men, I read humorous books, I read serious books, I read basically nonfiction and fiction. So the best way to prepare yourself to be a writer is to be an avid reader.
Avid reader, fantastic. Well, good thing she actually is that. She puts me to shame when it comes to the speed with which she can read, but she loves to read, so that's good advice. Well, Mick McMahon, financial planner and author of several books in studio with us today, thank you so much for your time as we wrap up today's program. It's been enlightening for me, and I trust it has been also for our audience there. And thanks for joining us on another edition of Career Callings. As always, you can get a free copy of today's podcast at careercallings.net/radio, and I encourage you to go do that, careercallings.net/radio. If you don't know what God created you to do, go pray, as Mick said, and find out what his calling is for your life. God bless.